Good morning. I'm Charles Osgood reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Nixon, in his address to the nation last night, did not reveal anything about who did it or who tried to cover it up, it being the Watergate scandal. But Mr. Nixon did talk about whose fault it was. Even though he was preoccupied at the time with affairs of state, he said, and had delegated the responsibility for running his reelection campaign to others, he would not last night take what he called the easiest course of blaming those to whom he had delegated the responsibility. That, said Mr. Nixon, would be a cowardly thing to do.
I will not place the blame on subordinates, on people whose zeal exceeded their judgment, and who may have done wrong in a cause they deep believe to be right. In any organization, the man at the top must bear the responsibility. That responsibility, therefore, belongs here, in this office. I accept it.
There will be, said the president, no whitewash at the White House. So now, as a consequence of Watergate, seven men are already out or on the way. Jeb Stuart Magruder, L. Patrick Gray, Richard Kleindienst, H.R. Haldeman, John Ehrlichman, though both of them will be around for a while in a transition period, John W. Dean, and Gordon Strawn of USIA, a one-time Haldeman liaison with the committee to reelect the president. Mr. Nixon went out of his way last night to say he meant to imply no personal wrongdoing on the part of any specific individual. But Senate Republican leader Hugh Scott draws an analogy to what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
There has been here a fall from grace. I think it is a result of the lack of grace in the use of power and not the action of men who are schooled or grounded in the arts of politics. The rotten vine of Watergate has produced poisonous fruits, and those who were nourished by it should be exiled from the garden.
Senator Hugh Scott. More news in a moment.
Georgie Trades, your Allied Van Lines agent in Ithaca, is Southern New York's largest moving company. They can move you anywhere in the world. However, they place just as much importance on local moves, and they have special equipment to accomplish this. In addition to local moving, they also offer a fine storage service for the homeowner, as well as the commercial business. Everything is carefully packaged and sealed, yet it's accessible when you're storing small moves. George E. Trays is specialized to help you. They're located in the Big Orange Building, just 4 miles north of the Trip Hammer Shopping Center on Route 13. If you wish to call first, here's that number, 257-0411. George E. Trays, your Allied Van Lines agent in Ithaca, in the Yellow Pages. The number once again, 257-0411.
It takes two to tango, and so now it appears that meeting Washington had announced between Henry Kissinger and Le Duc Tho isn't going to happen. Hanoi's Nguyen Co Thach, after 3 days of talks with U.S. Special Ambassador William Sullivan, has now left Paris for Hanoi, saying there's no possibility of a Tho-Kissinger session at the present time. Jane Friedman reports.
Thach said the atmosphere is not conducive to a resumption of talks between the two special negotiators. This came as a surprise. Yesterday, Ambassador Sullivan told reporters he had accomplished all that he had set out to. Reporters inferred that this meant that the Kissinger-Tho meeting had been set up. The North Vietnamese had never formally agreed to the new Kissinger-Tho meetings, but they had implied that they wanted concessions, namely the resumption of the demining of Haiphong Harbor. Yesterday, when Thach said an announcement on the Kissinger-Tho meeting would be forthcoming from Hanoi, it was inferred that those concessions had been made. Now it appears from Thach's words that Hanoi is still holding out. Jane Friedman for CBS News, Paris.
More news in a moment.
What if a terrible disease came to our land and 9 million of us got very sick? And what if the disease killed 86,000 of us every year and still kept growing like a plague? What would we do? Would we close our eyes, not see the disease, never talk about it? Would we lock up some of the sick ones where we couldn't see or hear them? Would we call them bad names, tell them to stop being sick because their disease was disgusting and immoral? We would call the disease alcoholism, wouldn't we? There's a better way to treat alcoholism, but you have to help. Write alcohol, Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Bristol, England is planning a 600th anniversary celebration this summer, and Ted Rawlings, the managing director of it, says America was named after a high sheriff of Bristol. Commonly accepted theory is America was named after the Italian navigator Amerigo Vespucci. But Rawlings insists that John Cabot, in the year 1497, named his newfound land after the fellow who was his big financial backer, Bristol's high sheriff, Richard Americ. Charles Osgood, CBS News.